Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 14. This is our part two of our D23 coverage. This week we're going to discuss all the parks and resorts announcements that were made during the expo just about a week ago. And we have a special guest with us, so we will introduce him in a moment. But for now, to my left is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And our special guest, the host of WDW Radio, is Lou Mangiello. Say hello, Lou.
Hello, Lou.
And say hello, Pogo. That was Forget by Pogo. That's off his new album, Kindred Shadow, which you can get off of his website, which is pogomix.net. You can find his videos over on youtube.com/Pogo and the rest of his music over on soundcloud.com/Pogomix. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast and on Facebook underneath the same name. And if you head over to iTunes, please take a search for Disney Magic Hour. That'll bring you to our page. Hit the subscribe button and please give us a 5-star review so we can reach out to more people. This isn't the show where I slap Brian for a 5-star review, but I don't know. That works pretty well on the other shows.
Yeah,
so.
that did bring in
it did
a lot
bring
of,
in a lot of yeah. reviews. So
yeah,
I'm just saying.
Me, so.
Well, yeah, then I'll go to jail. So, hello, Lou Mangiello. Thank you so much for coming on the show this week with us to talk about all things Disney.
Thank you for having me on, man. I've been waiting to come on for like 14 episodes.
Nah, I had to get some under my belt before I could even like attempt to ask you.
Oh, come on, man.
You know, I was like, oh, I don't want to push this. So, but it was perfect timing because as we were discussing, you know, you coming on the show, D23 was right around the corner. Everyone had a really good idea of what was going to, you know, go down at the expo, and luckily it did. So we have a whole bunch to speak about. But just in case anyone's listening to this show who isn't familiar with you, do you want to do a little bit of an introduction of yourself?
I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. I was born in Livingston, New Jersey in 19... All right.
Continue.
So I was a... way back when, I was a lawyer in New Jersey and had an IT consulting business and had this crazy idea to write a book. And all I knew about was Disney World. The book turned into a site, into a community, and a podcast back in 2005. Fast forward a couple years, I sold it all, drove in the family truckster down to Florida, and really have been talking about Disney World full-time since about 2007 or so, and much, much happier doing it. So I have my podcast and videos and products, and I speak and do all kinds of fun stuff, and I'm the luckiest guy on the planet.
Yeah, man, honestly, every week I listen to you, I'm like, yep, I got to keep doing the show. It's, you know, honestly, you're one of the guys that got us into wanting to do this, and it's the reason that we get together every Tuesday or Monday and Friday night, because we actually,
night,
we do another show, a film show, which is really adult aimed. So if anyone's listening to this that's family oriented, do not go over there. I'll save you the time because you're not gonna like it. But you know, actually me and Mel are looking to move down to Florida to get closer to our vacation home, so you definitely had a little bit of a push in that direction as well, especially when we met you a couple of months back. You know, you were saying, I just brought up the idea that we might be moving. You're like, no, you're moving. Like, that was it. You already knew that it was over.
And then you put pictures of Shake Shack up. So, I mean, now we're
you're
done.
Like, right.
There's no reason to stay in New York anymore. Shake Shack's down there.
Yeah. Come for the food, stay for the weather. But yeah, it was the best thing we ever did.
Great. Now that's next year for us, it looks like. Yeah. So we have a little bit of jumping around to do, but it should be good.
Yeah.
You know, actually, just so everyone knows, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about a cruise that Lou is going to be hosting, sort of hosting, like, you know, for your travel group, for the WW Radio travel group. And we're going to speak about all that later because it ties into one of the big announcements that happened over the last weekend at the D23 Expo in Anaheim. So let's first talk about Pandora, the world of Avatar. We finally got some reveals, a little more information, and a better idea of how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. And Lou, I know that you've been a big champion of this place amidst a lot of, I don't know, head shaking really at the idea of Avatar finding its way into Animal Kingdom. So how did you enjoy the stuff that you saw at the expo this the last weekend?
Man, I loved it. And you're right. When they first announced Avatar and Twitter exploded with people swearing that they would never step foot in this place because they were just so against it, I'm like, dude, you haven't even seen a piece of concept art and you're already like boycotting Pandora. I think once you go, I mean, look, to see the concept art is one thing. To walk in and see the scale model of what it's going to look like and take a look at sort of the Imagineer eye view of what that pathway and the reveal and the floating mountains are going to be like, and hear them talk about it and see how deep into story they're going to get. Not the story of Avatar the movie, but the story of the world of Pandora. I mean, it's on its face right now, it looks to be one of the most impressive things that they've done maybe since Cars Land.
And you know what? I think there's an interesting comparison to be made for Cars Land because me personally, and I think a fair amount others because it reflects in the Rotten Tomatoes score and whatnot, a lot of people are down on the Avatar because they didn't enjoy the movie, which while I think the movie is good, it's great action, it's not really the best written film of all time, but it develops an incredibly interesting world, which is what Avatar is doing the same thing of. It's just about the world, like you were saying. It's not about you going through the process that Jake Sully goes through, or Sully, or however they say his name in the film. So I don't think that you enjoying the film so much is the equivalent of you enjoying what's coming up, because if that were true, a lot of people would not enjoy Cars Land or even Dinosaur, the attraction. Because, I mean, when you look at it on its face value, not two of the best films that Disney's ever made. And that kills me because Cars is, you know, John Lasseter. I mean, yeah. Brian, you're not a big fan of Avatar either, but you're interested in the land, right?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested in land because, like Lou said, I'm interested in the setting and the way they're going to interpret it and bring it to the parks. The setting itself is just, it's beautiful, and I think it's going to just translate wonderfully to Animal Kingdom.
And Melissa, I know Animal Kingdom is, I mean, would... It's your favorite park, right?
Yeah, easily. And I'm like, makes me so happy that now we'll get to have a nighttime aspect to the park. And the bioluminescence that they keep talking about just makes me want it to open so, you know, now. I want to see it. And the floating mountains, I mean, I didn't see Avatar in the theaters. I only saw it on TV. So to see, like, the floating mountains and the plant life in real life, I think would be, like, the coolest thing.
Lou, was there a moon? There's a moon in that... You know, the model that they showed.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
Well,
see, dude, it was he set me up. I'm sorry.
You should know better.
Actually, no, I actually put up a thing where I said, oh, today they're talking about, you know, if you look, there's a moon, but tomorrow it won't be a moon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that going to be a thing, or was that just part of the model?
I think it's part of the model, but I think what the thing I took away from this, and sort of to reference the, you know, the 8,000-pound Bantha in the room, too, is that when you step foot through that portal, you are no longer in Disney's Animal Kingdom. You have stepped through to another planet. You are on the world of Pandora. So the people who are there are not cast members. They are native inhabitants. And I think the dragon that we saw in New Fantasyland was like an alpha version of the banshees you're going to see flying overhead. It would not surprise me to see a 9-foot-tall Na'vi walking around like a Lucky the Dinosaur, or sort of a self-propelled audio animatronic walk-around figure, because they want you to feel like you are stepping foot on that planet. And look, if I was a filmmaker or somebody with the talent like a Peter Tudone, I wish I could take the Avatar movie. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I wish I could take the Avatar movie and cut it down and cut out all the nonsense of the politics and the guns and the fighting and all that stuff, and just show people what this world is going to look like, and that continuing message that I think Animal Kingdom has of conservation and sort of living in harmony with the environment, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
And this kind of bleeds them into finally getting that, I guess, fantasy element that was originally going to be part of Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
This is a way of getting it without it, you know, being a dragon per se. They're going to be able to do other things. But yeah, if you cut down Avatar to only like, okay, let's just give you the idea. It's probably about 30 minutes long and the word unobtainium is never used.
Right.
But it's a gorgeous world. It's something that is visually interesting. It's exciting, which is another thing. Like, Animal Kingdom is great. It's one of my favorite parks. But outside of one or two things, it's not what I would call exciting. And this gives it a little more of an exciting feel. And I think the nighttime in this is going to rival Epcot. I really do.
It is going to be the nighttime park, in my opinion.
You've done the Harambe Nights, correct?
Have I? I don't know. No, I didn't. No, I missed it. I didn't get to do Harambe Nights.
Oh, okay, okay. But I'm sorry. You've been in the new area, though. You just had a food review episode recently with your family, correct?
Yes.
And how is that new area? I mean, you really raved about it over there, but can you just speak to that just for a moment?
I love it, man. It really, again, you talk about immersion into story and on a much smaller scale than what you're going to get in Pandora. You sort of feel, not that I've ever been to Africa, but I think that's what it would feel like if you were in sort of an African street market or a street fair, and the theming and the decor and the cohesiveness of the story only makes the awesome food taste even better.
Yeah, we had one night for like 2 hours when it was nighttime in Animal Kingdom, and it took on – it was a different park. It was a totally different park, and it was really exciting to be there. Yeah. So now with this World of Avatar, we're going to have two attractions added on, Flight of Passage, which in terms of the movie would have been when Jake is trying to learn how to fly his – was it called a Banshee Loo? Is that right?
I think it's a Banshee, yeah.
Okay. So when he's trying to learn that, and I don't know what that's going to feel like. I know that they've been touting – this is going to be the best flight experience that you're going to have, which is interesting because as we get into the other things that are announced, the word flight is, you know, pretty, you know, prominent in that. Right. So it's very interesting that they're really, really going hardcore on upping the technology in there. But they're going to have a park right behind it-ish that is going to be measured against it. You know, because it's their own thing. But as everyone does, when something new comes out, you look at something that just came out. You're like, oh, well, I wonder how that goes.
Yeah.
So, and then, Melissa, I know you're hugely excited. Actually, I think everyone should be about the other thing that's going to be going on, the water-based, the boat ride.
Yeah, they were saying it's the exact wording that the I forgot who was saying it.
Bob Iger?
No, it was if it was Cameron or Rhodey. Yeah, it was one of them. And they were saying it's very fluid, very romantic, very lyrical. This water-based journey through the bioluminescent world of Avatar. Like, just his quote sounds beautiful.
I'll bet that was Rhodey and not Cameron.
If it was Cameron,
be like very fast, very actiony, you'll probably die. Like that would have been Cameron's thing. So Lou, towards this, is this our Animal Kingdom Jungle Cruise, or is it gonna, do you think, like what is this gonna feel like?
I think it's gonna be I never sort of thought about it in terms of the Animal Kingdom version of a Jungle Cruise. I think it really is going to be like a heavily canopied, and you guys keep talking about the nighttime. I think this is going to be the thing that people are going to be lining up for a long time to ride at night, because I think it's going to sort of have this idea that these plants around you sort of come to life. I like Melissa said, I like the way it was described. I think it was meant to maybe not compare it to like a Jungle Cruise. It's going to be something more than, you know, corny jokes and tired skippers.
Oh, I hope so. And then, of course, we have the Rivers of Light, which is opening next spring. So at least we get something a little earlier than the rest of the opening of Avatar Land, which I think that slow rollout of new things is going to be a pattern that we see here and in Hollywood Studios or whatever they wind up renaming it to. That's the one thing they did not say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised at that.
It was an odd little cutout. Yeah.
I think they don't know. I just think they don't know yet.
Yeah. I always thought with the way that they're going, since they're using so many of their own IPs, or actually, yeah, almost exclusively their own IPs, except for the random stuff and the Great Movie Ride, you could call it Disney Studios, you know, or Disney Movie Adventure sounds terrible.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Oof.
I don't like the word adventure in there, and I think, you know, people are easily confused as it is. Yeah. Like, they're walking around Epcot going, where's Harry Potter Land? You call it adventure, they're going to think they're on Islands of Adventure, and you'll see when you guys become locals, you'll hear that kind of stuff.
So I would like Disney Studios, but I'm not sure if they're going to go that way.
Yeah, I would like them to keep the studio's name in there.
But is it a studio anymore?
It hasn't been for a long time.
That's true. Yeah, it should have changed a long time ago.
Well, I'll tell you, when they were doing the Frozen Summer Fun preview thing, when they did the sing-along in one of the other shows, they kept on referring to people as the citizens of Hollywoodland.
Ooh.
Really? Oh, so going.
So I don't know if that was just sort of a gap filler, and I was like, Hollywoodland.
Yeah, that's really old school. That would be interesting.
That would be cool, though, to go like really old school with the whole, like, you know, theming of like the first, you know, Sunset Boulevard and
I believe it's Hollywood Boulevard.
I'm always blanking on that name, but yeah, just to go back, you know, to classic Hollywood.
But then once you pass by that.
But then you might get like the world like that they'll start building.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other thing, you know, that we're getting over at Animal Kingdom to hop back over there is now the Sunset Safaris. Lou, what have you heard about this? I know that they're adding a couple of different animals, but are we going to not have the majority that you see during the day and it's going to be a total changeover? I mean, what's your info on that so far and your opinion, obviously?
I mean, I dig it. I, you know, like you guys are talking about, I think Animal Kingdom at dusk is just spectacular. And the idea of a nighttime safari. And I think they're adding, right, aren't they adding two new species like hyenas and wild dogs or something like
African wild dogs and hyenas.
Yeah.
So that might be, like, it might introduce, like, a danger factor. You know, maybe they'll play off that. Like, you know, the nighttime is a little more, like, action-y than the day.
That would be cool.
I don't know. I'm curious if they do something like that.
I think it makes it a completely different experience as you're going by, you know, the lights or lanterns hanging off the truck and the headlights or whatever it may be.
Yeah. That'll be our FastPass Plus bookings, like, absolutely, you know, just to get the nighttime stuff. It's weird. Like, you're now going to have to plan to go to Animal Kingdom.
At night,
which we haven't had to really do, you know, so far.
It's going to, like, change into one of those things. Before, you would probably plan Animal Kingdom early, you know, for most of the day, and then you plan something else at night. Now it's going to be, you know, you could plan something else in the morning hours.
And then go there,
and then
at,
go there at night.
Which is what we've been doing along with Magic Kingdom, as a matter of fact. So bottom line on Avatar, I mean, for my opinion, if something is put in front of you and Joe Rohde and James Cameron are working on it and it, you're not interested at all, I don't really know what could possibly get you interested in anything else that I could ever tell you about. So really, really exciting stuff going on there. But let's get into the biggie that everyone was waiting for. Star Wars Land? I guess we can just call it that for now, right?
Sure.
Okay, so Star Wars Land was officially announced, 14 acres in both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. But let's do a little focus more on Walt Disney World for tonight in particular. Was there anything that wasn't announced that you were hoping for, Lou? Or is this pretty much like it's covering your interests up to the point that you're just excited?
Yeah, I mean, they whet, you know, the geek appetite enough that you just like, all right, just get, you know, built like 2021 or 2022 sounds like it's, you know, 12 parsecs away, and it's a long time coming. But I think when you see the concept art and you hear about the Millennium Falcon secret mission, like the 7-year-old kid in you is like, ah, just totally build it already.
And then they have the other one. Now, actually, you know what? Look, the Millennium Falcon secret mission, that is something that they didn't describe the mechanics of it. And it made me wonder, is this ride going to be maybe one of the customizable missions that you can do, which is what they call it? There's always been something that sticks out to me in Star Tours, and that's that there is no trench run sequence from A New Hope. Is this maybe where we finally get that part? You know, because again, customized secret mission, that makes me feel like there's multiple ways to go about this.
When I saw that, the first thing I thought of was less Star Tours and more Test Track, where before you get into whatever type of ride system it is, you have some sort of say in what the storyline is going to be, where it's going to go, is something that you help to create. And so as you go in, the story very much becomes customized to you. It's not a random sequence, but something that you might have the opportunity to you know, customize or choose or whatever it may be. And that obviously ups the rewritability factor, not that you would need it anyway, you know, through the roof.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I think that that's where they're going to go. I'm so curious about, is it going to be that you're in a vehicle with 30 people, or are you going to go into like little pods that look like the cockpit and there's like eight to a, you know, so basically the size of the Tower of Terror, you know, one of the elevators, you know, do you get into something like that? And that's who you ride with. You ride with something that could kind of feasibly fit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And then on top of that, we get another ride, which is so great because we know nothing about it.
Because we don't
even know what the terms that they're referring to are, in particular, the First Order and the Resistance.
Yeah.
So does First Order mean the First Order of the Sith, the First Order of the Jedi, the New Jedi? It's really interesting, and this all has to do with the new films. So I wonder when we'll get more information. Is that something in the first movie, which is now only a couple of months away?
Yeah, what do we got, like 3-4 months?
What month is it?
August.
8. And that one's 12. That's 4.
Yeah, math.
That's math. Science. So, Lou, I mean, on this one, if I had to take a wild guess, this feels like amped up Soarin'.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the thing that excited me was that they weren't giving us a lot of detail. So it's kind of fun, I think, to armchair imagineer and speculate, you know, how many years out what this could be. I heard that. I thought maybe like some type of a dark ride, right? Because we're going to have the simulator for Secret Mission. So I thought maybe this is some type of a ride through. Who knows? I mean, look, this could be utilizing a ride system or a technology that they just haven't revealed yet.
Yeah, very true.
Or I was even thinking when you just said like the dark ride, kind of like how in the Spider-Man ride in Islands of Adventure, where you're moving through, but then you stop for certain battle scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll.
It could be something like that. Who
obviously
knows?
Up the technology.
Or is it like a Toy Story Mania where you actually have some type of a weapon and you're fighting and it really becomes more of an interactive battle sequence?
If I get to make pew-pew noises, I will be happy.
You can make those noises whenever you want. You know that.
But it's obviously better if you're shooting, like, you know, lasers rather than pies.
Actually, Lou, you know what? You may have really hit on what Millennium Falcon's going to be, actually. That might be something more of that, because that, I don't know. Anyway, it's so great. I love that we don't know, but also I hate that we don't know. I'm really interested in how they were describing the immersiveness of this area, in particular that the stores will be run by quote-unquote locals of this, as of now, unnamed planet. Correct? Is it unnamed, Lou, or did they say that?
They haven't. So they haven't told you where it's going to be. I think they just said it's a gateway planet to a remote town. So it makes you sort of think, you know, like Mos Eisley-type spaceport, but they didn't use it by name. And I think you're right. Like Pandora, you're not having cast members. You're going to have, you know, aliens and droids and probably animatronics and puppets or whatever they're going to use to give you the sense that, like Cars Land, you have stepped into that film.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, help me out here. I mean, I got... Yeah.
I can't... My mind was blown. I'm just so... I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and there's just the concept art, some of that stuff that they show.
There was a 1-to-1 scale of the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, it's just, it looks unreal. It's going to be my 7-year-old self is just like, I cannot wait for this.
At that point, you're what, 13-year-old boy?
Yeah.
Will probably
be doing the same thing.
Be going out of his mind.
Yeah, he already went out of his mind. I have an 8-year-old son, Lou, and, you know, I showed him all the stuff, and is that now? I'm like, no. You got to wait a while, bud.
Actually, Lou, I want to go towards, you were saying 2020, towards the release. Now, the only reason I would maybe counter argument that is they are now officially in competition with somebody, which they haven't been for a long time, even though a park had been there for a long time. But now they're officially in that competition mode. Do you think they maybe try to match the rate at which Universal put out, let's say, Diagon, which was 3 years from announcement to grand opening?
So I don't look at it as a competition kind of thing. I mean, obviously there's competition there, but I think these plans have been in the works for a long, long, long time, and they're just sort of letting us know now. And look, I think 2020 would actually be, I think that's, I mean, I'm sort of rounding around. I would actually round up to more like 2022, because think about it. Cars Land took 5 years from announcement to opening, and obviously the dominoes are already starting to fall in Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios with all the closures. Big Thunder Ranch is going to close in Disneyland in January. But that's still a long, long time. And if you look at that concept art, it's not just expansive horizontally, but it's expansive vertical as well, too. And that, you know, those things take time. I mean, Hollywood Studios and parts of Disneyland are going to be construction zones for a while.
Do you maybe avoid these parks a little bit more once things go? But, I mean, it does seem like they're going to be building back. So,
right.
Like, stuff that's closed now, it's just going to remain closed. And it hasn't really interfered with the flow of the park. Not that there's much flow to Hollywood Studios right now, currently. You know, but what little flow it has, I don't think that the construction is going to be as disruptive.
No.
To if you went right now, there's not going to be much of a difference. Unless, of course, and I guess this is going to happen, Muppets and yeah. Indiana Jones go by the wayside, which Indiana Jones needs to.
Indiana Jones, I think, has to.
It's been the same thing forever.
Yeah.
I will tell you, wait, I will play. I'm only playing devil's advocate.
Oh, do it.
Go to Indiana Jones this weekend, and it's full. Every show is full. I mean, that's a people eater, and they get thousands of people. Because remember, for a lot of people, it's the first time they're seeing it. Because they don't go every year. They go every 3 to 5, 7 years, whatever it may be. But I think you're right. I think it's history like the Aztecs. So
yeah. You know what? They'll maybe just hold on to that a lot longer until they can have a soft opening of some other elements that you can then walk into. You know, like Star Wars or Toy Story Land, which we're going to get to right next, isn't fully there, but there's elements of it that you can enjoy. And then maybe that's when they can start peeling back the layer of Indiana Jones. Because also the Muppets, as much as I love that attraction, the way that the Muppets are now being marketed and now being handled and the way that they're going to be reintroduced to the populace through that show that has a very unique take, that attraction seems like a dinosaur's dinosaur.
Yeah, it doesn't seem relevant to the new show that's going to be coming out.
Yeah. So, I mean, Lou, I know you're a Muppet guy, but are you also kind of bracing yourself for the disappearance of that attraction? Do you think that that will happen?
Oh, I think so. I think it's a fait accompli. I mean, the only other thing that could potentially happen is if they decide to use that space for Star Wars Land or whatever it's going to be called. Do you take that franchise and do something else in another part of the park with it? Do you take the old American Idol Theater when the Frozen Summer Fun sing and dance along, whatever it's called, leaves? Do you use that space maybe for the Muppet, you know, the Gonzo's Pizza Pandemonium restaurant that we hoped that we were going to get, you know, back in the 80s? I hope that even if the attraction closes, it's not the sounding of the death knell for the Muppets at the studios.
Well, I think that might be dependent on how well this new show does.
Yeah.
You know?
Obviously.
Yeah, if the show does really well, then I definitely think we'll see it in the park somewhere. We'll see it keep a presence somewhere in the park. But if the show doesn't really hit, I don't know. It might be gone.
I still wonder if there's ever an idea someone gets really, really nuts and is like, you know what? The Imagination Pavilion would be a great place for these guys. And
do you want to see Twitter lose its collective brains?
Yes, I want to see Figment and the Muppets in the Imagination Pavilion.
You don't give out your home address on the show, do you?
No. All right, I'm not even at my house. This is just some other person's house. Every week we change locations.
Smart.
We're a moving target, folks. That is where I think that it would work the best. I think that the Muppets fit in that area in Epcot, because it is hard to find a place for them if it isn't going to be in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, that's the thing,
they
yeah.
don't tend to really fit anywhere else, although there is a Monsters, Inc. ride in Tomorrowland, so who am I to say what doesn't fit where?
Dude, I'm going to see your Muppets at Imagination and raise you inside out at the Imagination Pavilion.
That's what I said.
Yeah, we actually did a Armchair Imagineering episode a while back, and we were... You know, basically Inside Out should be in the Wonders of Life Pavilion. They should reopen that because there's no reason for it to be closed. And Inside Out is the perfect addition. That movie was a massive hit with huge fanfare. It will win probably Best Animated Film at the Oscars. And I don't know. If you're going to capitalize on other stuff, which we'll get into that later, I know that people have a sore spot about a certain thing in Epcot. I really don't get it, though. But anyways, my other, you know, one last thing on Star Wars, all the stuff that they're adding here and on top of the Star Wars launch bay, which I take is temporary until everything else is going on.
Yeah.
What becomes of Star Wars weekends, I mean, does that get amped up even more? Because Season of the Force is going to be coming. So is Season of the Force just the B-side of Star Wars weekend? Or does Star Wars weekend get really, you know, thrown up even higher than it is now on the calendar?
Yeah, I was wondering that too. You know, how do they handle it when you have an entire Star Wars land? Do you still have the weekends with the celebrity signings and the cosplay and all that kind of stuff? I mean, you want to talk about feeding the beast. I mean, it would certainly make sense to keep that there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very, very curious. Yes, Melissa.
Oh, no, I was going to say, the Season of the Force thing, it almost makes it seem like how they did in Epcot, where they had the Food and Wine Festival, and everybody loves it. So now they kind of bled that over into the garden, and, you know, Flower and Garden. You know, they yeah. have, like, more food components. It's not as big as Flower and as Food and Wine, but it's, you know,
but
a good
there,
part.
Yeah.
yeah, and it's on the opposite end of the calendar kind of thing. So now if you have, like, Season of the Force, it's like Star Wars, you know, weekends, but... You know,
minus the guests, maybe.
Yeah,
stuff
maybe
like
minus
that.
Like the big stuff, and then the big stuff yeah. is just for those weekends when you know yeah. the kids are out of school and stuff.
That might work. That might work. That could very well be it. Moving on, in Hollywood Studios, the kind of unexpected, but I don't think exactly expected, was the announcement of Toy Story Land, which is going to be an 11-acre addition. Man, these things are huge, yeah. and. Again, two attractions announced at the get-go, and this was the Slinky Dog coaster, which is really long. After looking at the concept art, you're like, man, this thing goes on for a while. And then an Alien Sauces attraction with the claw buff. I never really got a good grasp of what that exactly is. Lou, do you have a better idea of what exactly the Alien attraction is?
I didn't, and I'm not familiar with what the Toy Story Land oversees. Do they have a claw type attraction? I'm not sure.
I don't
that
know.
I know they have a Slinky. I know that there's a Slinky Dog in Hong Kong, right? I believe there's a Slinky Dog attraction in Hong Kong.
As in like an entire roller coaster, like the one that they're going to be doing over here?
No, I think it's different. But I know there's some type of a Slinky attraction. But this is a full blown coaster. But they didn't really say very much about what the claw is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, to what some other people have kind of speculated, that's going to be very akin to Mater's attraction in Cars
right.
Land. And I've heard nothing but good stuff about that particular attraction. So maybe not the most exciting choice if it's just an existing attraction with a different coat of paint on it. But I've never been on it, so hooray.
I think it's a lot of – I mean, I dig Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, man. I laugh like, you know, like a schoolgirl on that. I mean, it's just a fun thing. So, and you got to remember, too, these parks are not built just for, you know, us somewhat middle-aged men. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's kids that need to go to Hollywood Studios and find stuff to do, too. So if you have that type of attraction, you got to make sure that the entire family can ride it.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be doing that with Slinky Dog as well. Mel, did you find that Hong Kong thing?
Yeah, actually, in Hong Kong and in Disneyland Paris, there's a Slinky Dog. It's called Slinky Dog Zigzag Spin. So they are saying it's like a caterpillar-style ride. So it's, I guess, more for the younger kids.
Okay.
I feel like this one might be a little bit for, like, the family ride.
Yeah, well, they're calling it a family coaster,
yeah.
so it's definitely...
So I think it's
I think it's
that.
Fair to say.
Like a mine train type of thing.
Exactly,
yeah.
I think that's exactly the route that they're going to be going is it won't be, you know, it'll be in the middle of that road. But I think that the real attraction to this attraction is going to be the surrounding area as you're on the coaster.
Yeah.
I think that's really going to make everything be that much more exciting, much like without the middle piece of the mine cart, you know, where you go through the whole hi-ho sequence. It's maybe not the most, you know, yeehaw thing that's in the parks, but it's such a highlight. That section is such a highlight, especially if you get a good crowd and they start clapping along and singing along to Hi-Ho, which if you don't do that now, you really should because it makes the ride of a great ride phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, you know, be silly. But this is... Something I wasn't expecting. I didn't know if they were going to do Cars Land, you know, Cars Land East Coast or something like that. So, Lou, how were you? How was your reaction to Toy Story Land? Because I know mine, at first I was like, oh, but then when I saw more of it, you know, the concept art and thought about it more, I started really getting on board with it with the understanding like, hey, not everything is supposed to be made for you.
Yeah, so I kind of knew that something Pixar was coming and if you sort of deconstructed what was going on and where things were closing, you saw that there was more than just Star Wars Land coming in there. I know there was a lot of discussion. Are they going to recreate an existing land that is overseas with the similar types of attractions? Is it going to be sort of copying and pasted here? I, for one, am thrilled that it was not Cars Land. I want Cars Land to exist only in California because that's where it belongs. It's a reason to go visit there. So I was happy with this. You know, I like Toy Story. Everybody kind of likes Toy Story. I think that we get a new family coaster. We get stuff for kids. But it is, again, that walk through the portal, immersive type of environment like I think you get at Cars Land.
Now, we have Cars Land. We have Toy Story Land. There's going to be more room to maneuver in Hollywood down the line. I mean, obviously, we're talking a decade or so down the line. Yep. But does Disney continue with this Pixar Land, you know, specific film ideas in the future? You know, is there another franchise that they're going to tap and say, you know what, this one can work as well as a land on its own?
Chicken Little Land. Chicken Little Land is going to come next.
Low.
Oh, man, I can't wait till we get to that review.
Oh, God.
We started doing this new thing on the show where we review every animated film from Snow White to present day, and we're going to be doing the live-action films that have come into the park, and I am, like, firing all guns at that film once it comes up. I know Brian has Pocahontas in his sights also.
Yes. I already started my essay on that.
So, I mean, Toy Story Land looks really interesting. It's again, we don't know much about it. We don't know how it's going to go. But I love the idea of more. I don't think more Pixar is ever a bad idea.
No.
I will accost anybody I need to get an Incredibles ride.
I was just going to say. I was going to say, like, if they're going to do another land, like, Incredibles Land would be really cool to do, like, a city and then, like, you know, have the superheroes.
They just slightly dress up New York Street.
Yeah.
And they just kind of
put an Omnidroid in there, and you're fine.
So, anyone have any additional thoughts? I just want to talk about Toy Story Land for a little bit longer, Brian.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for Toy Story Land. I really like that they're doing these themed lands, you know, within, like you said, within the Pixar, like Cars Land, and I want that to stay in California. I like that idea, and now they have the Toy Story Land here in Florida. It gives the parks their own, you know, their own feel, and I like that. I really like this immersion thing that they're into now, like with the Pandora and the Star Wars Land, and now the Toy Story Land, where you really get to get into, you know, these movies.
Yeah.
Toy Story Land is the best. I mean, that's the best one for that. That's like we had talked about previously. That's kind of like an endless thing. You can Toy Story can go on forever for the most part.
There's so much material that they've already produced between the shorts and the films. You'd have to be working for 20 years before you start even getting to the bottom of, oh, what can we do next?
Yeah, exactly. So it fits perfectly. And like you, I was a little man with it when I first saw it, but then I looked into it more and it really, you know, got my interest. And like you said, this is the kiddie part of the park. I mean, for adults also, but this is where, you know, the kids are going to flock to, because Star Wars, of course, you know, boys and girls that like that are going to go there. They go crazy for that. But like Tower Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, they have a lot of adult stuff already.
Yeah.
So this will, you know, be a nice balance. And I'm sure it's going to be themed
to the max.
To the max. Yeah.
Now, Lou, actually, when these places open, let's assume Toy Story and Star Wars open relatively close to each other, a year within each other. Does this become the number two populated park, or does it have a shot, if capacity allows, at challenging Magic Kingdom?
I think Magic Kingdom is always going to be Magic Kingdom. I think when you close your eyes and you say Disney World, the first thing that you think of, for me, it's food. But then you probably think of Magic Kingdom.
40 minutes. It took you 40 minutes. 40 I've been minutes. Counting.
I tried my best to hold off. But I do. I think, you know, Magic Kingdom will always be the quintessential park. And look, I think between now and when these lands open, I think something new is coming to Magic Kingdom. That hasn't been announced yet.
Really. Oh, well, you can't just leave it there. Come on now.
I think Tomorrowland is ripe for...
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
All right, you know what? Let's parallel over to that, because I know that you got probably nerded out by something that was announced overseas. And when I saw it, I immediately was trying to figure out the math of how to get myself to Shanghai without losing everything that I own from debtors. Tron, Light Cycle Ride. This is coming after the third movie was kiboshed.
Yeah.
Which is such an odd timing, you know, of all the things. You know, you kill a movie on one day, and then a month later, one of your premier attractions overseas that is meant to attract Westerners is Tron-based. Do you think that's a possibility in Tomorrowland?
I'm not sure. And I think, you know, you have to remember, too, you know, Disney is not one giant company. It's a lot of little companies. And sometimes, you know, what makes sense for an overseas theme, you know, parks and resorts does not make sense for the Walt Disney Studios in terms of dollars and ROI and things like that. So you see this Tron concept art and you're like, I need to get me a passport like tomorrow because how can I not go there? I think, you know, Disney is maybe trying. I mean, obviously, at Expo, Shanghai was the cornerstone of what WDI and Parks and Resorts was doing. Everything else was secondary and tertiary to this. I think they are the same way that they've been trying to draw international visitors to Walt Disney World and doing a very good job of it. They are now trying to draw us and our dollars over to the overseas park. And I will tell you, man, there's a lot of people talking like, you know what? Forget Paris. I need to save up and go to Shanghai.
No, yeah. Shanghai immediately is the number one on my list of overseas. And that is taking into effect that I have been dead set on Tokyo, Disney
Seas. Right, right, yeah.
But now seeing everything that's going to be going on here, the scale of the castle, the idea that it's not a main street, you know, that's very appealing to me. Yeah. Seeing something completely, you know, excuse the pun, foreign to me, is something that's very attractive. Mm-hmm. And then there's a freaking light cycle ride. So, like,
with the outside, it's going to have a canopy over it that's also going to be changing lights. So even as like you're walking on around the attraction.
Did you see the ride vehicles?
Yeah.
Like you're actually,
it's beautiful.
You're sitting in a light cycle. So Jesus. I mean, so they won, you know, whatever that was their aim, they won. And actually, you know, now that you said it, Lou, because they put such a focus on Shanghai, maybe that's why Star Wars was in the live action thing, because they didn't want the news of Star Wars to come on the same day as Shanghai and kind of overshadow it in the Western media.
Maybe.
So they had their big day of Star Wars announcement. And as the media cycle is, the next day, it's like, what do you got? And that was how Shanghai got such high praise, mm-hmm. because it didn't lead into Star Wars. It didn't follow the Star Wars announcement. It was the final thing they spoke of on that stage.
Right.
And Star Wars had its own time. So actually, that might explain why they split those things up. Because, yeah, seeing Star Wars announced during the live action, you know, film thing, me and you were, you know, we were watching it via people's periscopes and whatnot online. And it was like, oh, this is happening now. Yeah. You know, it was
like, what the what? Like, why are they doing, like, did somebody goof and, like, switch the scripts on Bob Iger? Like, why are they doing this here?
Iger just walked in. He's like, I'll do what I want.
But I did, after they did it, and then when I was talking to some people I know over at the WDI Pavilion, there very much was a, you need to just wait and we'll talk to you after the presentation. Like, you got to hold off because, you know, we are really going to, you know, light all the fireworks up at Parks and Resorts, and then we'll start talking to you about Shanghai once you see what we have.
Wow, yeah. It's like the age of construction for Disney right now. Is this a new Disney decade? You know how Eisner basically had the wheels turning on a ton of things being built up with hotels and Hollywood studios? Is this that second occurrence of this?
Dude, I am in the midst of a serious bromance with Bob Iger. You know, I feel his legacy is acquisitions, right? You know, because of all the things, again, he purchased our childhood for us with Muppets and Marvel and Star Wars. But now, I mean, just look at the incredible growth that's happening at, you know, Parks and Resorts. You know, the guy gets it. I mean, the guy and the team around him absolutely get it. So this is going to be, you know, history's going to look back at this as a time of incredible expansion. And I keep saying, man, it is a great time to be a Disney fan and a geek.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, definitely.
I'm sorry, Brian. I know you're not going to be there as quick as we are.
Yeah.
But damn, I'm going to be so happy that we're down there while this is happening. Because I remember, like, you know, when Fantasyland, by dumb random timing, we were there for opening day.
Right.
But that wasn't planned. We just happened to make a vacation when it turned on there. But
that was the day the dragon.
The dragon, flew. Yeah.
That's the day that I met you in person, Lou.
Yeah. Oh God, that's right. Yeah.
We were back by Fantasyland, and you were doing like a, you know, you had a camera guy and you were talking, and I was like, that's Lou Mangiello to Pete. I was like, that's him.
And admittedly, I said, who's Lou Mangiello? Yeah, because that was how I got introduced to you.
Yeah,
actually.
At the time he had it, because I had been listening to you for a while before that. So, yeah,
and you're like, God, he's so much taller in person. I can't believe it.
Well, I'm 6'6", Lou, so.
Yeah, it was basically Chewbacca and Wicked, if we're being honest. I mean, come on, man. Okay, I want to give you your moment. You talked about food. So let's talk about restaurants. Let's go to the Magic Kingdom and let's talk about, I don't know, maybe the most exciting thing right under Star Wars. I'm sorry, but it is.
Because it's opening quicker.
Yeah, it's also opening very soon. The Jungle Skipper Canteen, which is going to be located in the Magic Kingdom, of course, is going to be a brand new themed restaurant. And the description from Disney Parks blog, I know that I feel they're just messing with me, but when you use this sentence, once hidden secret meeting room of the famed Society of Explorers and Adventurers, anyone who's been an adult and in Disney for the last 10, 15 years, that's going to make you think of something that isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Or am I reaching? I mean, Lou, am I reaching on that, or does that not make you think of the Adventurers Club?
It's absolutely meant to make you think of the Adventurers Club. I mean, it is incredibly deliberate, and it is going to be, my belief is that it's going to do directly tie to the Adventurers Club, and it is not going to be the only restaurant in Walt Disney World that does it.
Are we maybe talking about, what's his name? Lou? Lindy's?
No, Jack.
Jocks. Yeah. I think that's going to be another one. When I read the description on that, I was like, oh, you could definitely put these some certain characters popping up here and there in this place. So
yeah.
So I'm really excited about this. We haven't heard much about it though. In particular, what's the size going to be? I mean, is this going to be another? I'm blanking Polynesian that just opened up. Hello,
Trader Sam's.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, is it going to be another that size kind of place, or are we looking at a larger, broader place?
Right?
You can't do that in Magic Kingdom, right?
So this used to be the old Adventureland Veranda restaurant, which was a beautiful. I mean, it had the dark woods and the ceiling fans. It was gorgeous inside. They had all kinds of weird, like Kikkoman-inspired, like burgers and hot dogs. But they filled in a lot of dirt on the old Magic Kingdom, you know, moat. So they have expanded the restaurant out in terms of actual, you know, floor space and kitchen space and things like that. So it's going to be a much, much, I mean, look, my Trader Sam's is as big as my home office. So it's a much, much bigger restaurant. So,
and we got to go back there because we went there, and I don't drink alcohol. I'm actually a straight edge, but I was willing to buy the Nautilus drink, which was what, like $50?
Yeah.
Just because I wanted the Nautilus, but they were sold out. I was like, ah, you evil menu. So I mean, Melissa, Jungle Cruise, is this your favorite ride in Magic Kingdom?
Pretty much.
It is, right? Okay.
I get a kick out of those jokes. So.
Yeah. So this is something I know you love this thing, and now you're going to get an even more bigger experience at Jungle Cruise. So
yeah,
this
I'm
is
down.
Right up your alley, right?
Yeah. Food, okay. Jungle Cruise, I'm in.
Brian, do I even need to ask if this is interesting to you, or do I have to throw something at you?
No, of course.
Okay, good. Of course I have to throw something at you?
Yes.
Well, no, that's very the well. Norm. But no, I'm very – no, of course I'm interested in it. I love that theme, and it's just – I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. And then, Lou, can I make a easy guess that this will be a meetup location somewhere down the line?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? And the thing that impresses me most about this is I saw this, and I saw the society by the – and I'm like, you know what, man? Disney honestly listens to and they care about their fans, because while it is not a replacement for the Adventurers Club, the people who love that place, that miss that place, you know, I think Disney understands that it had a cult following. It was important to guests, and they are going to give them a little something. So is Magic Kingdom going to be the place to go to for food? Like, because they need it. You know, they need another restaurant.
Or is it for drink also? I mean, that is an interesting question now, is they have introduced alcohol into the Magic Kingdom. Now they have another place that possibly could, but I don't think they're going to take that leap.
I don't think so. I think, I don't think it can. Not there.
Yeah, not yeah, there. It's because no, it's not in. They cosmetically hide the alcohol in Be Our Guest because it's like classy French.
Yeah.
This is more like this is a bar. Yeah, you know, this is, like, this
yeah,
is a
exactly.
bar.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I think that they'll tread lightly, as Walter White.
They might
would
have
say.
Some fun themed drinks that are, you know, obviously non-alcoholic, but I'm looking
I
forward
think,
to those.
I definitely think we're going to see some familiar faces too, because they're still in those parks.
Oh yeah, they're still in Hollywood.
You know, so
you see them all the time.
I'm really excited about that.
And I think what they do at Trader Sam's, which is an entertainment experience. I mean, they are performers, they are actors. There, you're going to get that. You know, plussed up 10 times over at in Adventureland. So,
which is something missing from Magic Kingdom beyond Main Street. You know, that streetmosphere kind of isn't there as much as it used to be. So this might help, even if it's that you have to go inside locations. But, you know, if it's an open location where you can kind of access that type of entertainment a little easier, I think it really helps Magic Kingdom in a very, very large way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to get somewhere between a Trader Sam's type entertainment and almost like a, I was going to say, old school sort of, you know, Golden Horseshoe Review or Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. I mean, you're going to get, I think, that kind of a show along with your meal.
That would be great.
If there was an actual show, maybe even occasionally at certain times.
But then that would be the same thing that caused the problem with the Adventurers Club, which was nobody would leave. You got to turn those tables over if you want to make money. So,
but as you were saying, what if you actually have it where it is like a review show? Only occasionally at night, there's like one show where it's a 2-hour show. You pay a fixed price, and then you know that's it. The show's over. You are ticketed out.
Mr. Mongello, I'm sorry. We do have a 6-hour limit on these tables. I need to.
All right, let's hop on over to Epcot, where we got, I mean, an announcement that we knew was going to come, but it's just happy. I'm very happy and excited that it's finally happening. Soarin' is one of my favorite attractions in all of the resorts. I think that it is the second best attraction music. Of course, the music that comes on the Kilimanjaro Safari is the best music.
Yes.
But I always loved the music for Soarin' right up there as well. And we're finally getting an upgrade to that Soarin' Over the World, whereas the one in Shanghai will be called Soarin' Over the Horizons. So let's just focus on Over the World right now.
Is it
now.
Over the World or Around the World?
I have Over here.
I thought it was Around the World.
Well, you wrote Over.
I told you
no,
around.
Yeah, it's Soarin' Around the World. Yes, thank you, Melissa, for correcting you.
So, you don't mess with my documents. That's what happens.
So this is going to also be opening, I believe this was what, 2016 or 2017?
I think late 2016 is what they're saying.
Okay, so that's not bad. I mean, that's a pretty good turnaround. We know that they've been working on this for a while, but, you know, these things don't happen quickly. They're finally upgrading to laser projection, so we don't have to have a very beat-up 70mm print right now. Which also, you know, the tiniest piece of dust looks like a battleship on that screen. So this will be a really great upgrade, and we're getting brand new locations. What's up, Brian?
Oh, no, nothing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you had something that you were trying to get my attention on. So, Lou, I know that we have the Great Wall of China coming in here. What were some of the other locations that you may have heard of?
So I think they also said that you're going to go over an African savanna. And Monument Valley, and I think they said Arizona.
Yeah, I think I saw something like that in the making of video.
And if the screen looks anything like, I just came from California and I went to Soarin' in DCA. The new 4K screen there is beautiful. Like, holy smokes. It's like watching like Betamax versus, you know, a 4K television.
That's great. I'm really happy that they're already embracing the 4K technology. I was kind of worried. I was like, are they going to announce 1080p? Because it'll be outdated in 3 years, and then they're going to have to shut it down again. I mean, this is really exciting for me personally. I just really like Epcot a lot, I think, as any adult with sense does. So seeing an upgrade to this, or not even an upgrade, I guess just a refresh is really a better idea.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I'm really looking forward to this. And we're not that far away from it. You know, this is something that is definitely, I was going to say near the horizon. I'm not going to say that. So, Melissa, I know that this is big on your thing as well. You're a huge Soren fan.
I am. I'm super excited for it. I've been waiting for like a new film, new projector for a while.
But what if there's no orange scents?
That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested to see if they change the scents, how they incorporate like new scents. Because, I mean, the locations that, you know, like Lou just said, nothing really scent-wise stuck out to me. I mean,
stone.
Well, yes.
What does the Great Wall smell like? Or maybe we don't want to know what the
masonry. Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to know what the African plain smells like. But that'll be really interesting to see where they bring that aspect to Soren. And I'm wondering if they changed the music, because I love the Soren music. And on the little YouTube clip
it's
that they had,
song.
It's a different music.
Yeah, it is.
So,
Lou, what do you think about that? You think that they're going to do a whole refresh of even the, you know, will they get rid of the orange scent? Do you think they're going to change over the music? I think they will, actually. Or maybe they're filming a brand new sequence of orange groves just because it's so Disney. You know, when you think that makes me think of Disneyland just because of the connection of, granted, what they knocked over. But still, you know, it works for me. Would you want to see it retain some of its elements, or would you like to see a whole new experience?
You know, the emotional, nostalgic, you know, romantic in all of us was like, oh, you got to have a little bit of orange there for Horizons and this. But by the same token, you know, you do want it to be a new experience, because you're going to be like, oh, it's just the orange smell again. You know, you're not going to be able to satisfy everybody.
Does everybody say that?
Yeah. People have the internet. Trust me, someone said that somewhere.
Oh. Yeah. stay away from the Twitter. But I, you know, I'm excited for, you know, seeing something new, not just an update to the existing film. So, yeah, I mean, does a little part of me want to just make sure I get a little bit of orange scent, but I also want to see again how you've got the opportunity to make all these changes. How are you going to plus the experience even more?
Yeah, and so we'll be seeing that in the next year and a half or so. Or really, I guess it's almost, wow, it's so
like
late in this
year.
It's so
year.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a year away, man.
This year has gone, the second half of this year in particular has really shot by.
Yeah.
I don't know why it feels like that, especially because it's so disgusting out. I mean, not Florida disgusting, but it's New York disgusting, which is a whole different type of disgusting. All right, let's stay in Epcot and aggravate half the crowd. So Frozen Ever After is going to be opening up in an expanded Norway pavilion. That's later next. That's opening also next year. The concept art that they showed of the new pavilion looks gorgeous, and it feels like Norway.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
definitely.
And I think that people who are going to hate it, they already decided they're just going to whatever, they're going to feel that way. But for anyone who's, you know, with an open mind going into this, I think you're going to be really surprised. Lou, what's your thoughts on? I know that actually me and you have kind of spoken towards this in person and through emails. What's your feelings on the Maelstrom being retired and Frozen Ever After going in there? Tread lightly. I can always edit it. Don't worry.
No. Listen, you don't have to edit it. You know, I stand by what I said when this all first came out. Again, the nostalgic and the romantics, like, oh yeah, I remember riding Maelstrom, but call it what it is. It was not the most popular attraction, and nobody's going, oh, come on, kids, we have to go see the big oil rig. Like, it's not what's drawing people into the parks. I mean, look at the lines, look at the merchandise sales, look at everything else. You need to give people what they want, and clearly, this generation of kids and their parents, they want more Frozen, and that's the place where it fits. I agree with you. I think the concept art looks spectacular, and I think they made a very, very smart and deliberate choice. I think Kathy Mangum was talking about how the cabin's going to be based on an actual historic cabin in Norway, and we went to Norway. Like, she's trying to reinforce, like, hey, we are going to honor what this pavilion and what this mission is going to be about while still having an entertaining and hopefully, you know, somewhat educational attraction in there as well. So I think talking about the Royal Summer House in terms of Norwegian culture and history was very, very important and obviously very smart.
And, you know, they still haven't revealed the storyline for the attraction in its full capacity, to my knowledge. Am I wrong on that, Lou, or have they actually done that?
I think they were being very nonspecific on purpose, because I think they were trying to focus less on the storyline than saying, we want to make sure people increased their interest and their knowledge of Scandinavian culture, just the way World Showcase was supposed to do. So they want to get that point across first to calm the angry Twitter trolls, pun intended.
Gold star, sir. Gold star. I think it's really interesting also. Something that, you know, we have the screensaver on the TV that right now is the photos, you know, from our Disney trips and whatnot. And I have a photo in particular of the Aladdin and Jasmine meetup, which is in Morocco. Mm-hmm. And it actually says on the poster, now visiting Morocco, making it clear that this is not the location from the film. They right. are visiting here from their home.
Right.
And I really do feel that is going to be an element in this ride. I think that you will see Arendelle, but I wonder if there's going to be a, you know, Olaf in Norway or some kind of weird element to it. I'm not sure. It could just be a movie ride, which I don't want that very much, but I'm also aware that that movie is the highest grossing animated film of all time. It is by far one of their biggest sellers ever. And if you're not someone who constantly reads Disney news and constantly is on, you know, message boards and this and that, you don't have enough Frozen because you're not inundating yourself with it all the time and then complaining that, oh, I'm getting too much Frozen. It's like, then just stop reading everything. It's like, you know, eating ice cream every day and saying like, man, I can't stand ice cream. And then eating ice cream, you know, just don't do it or do it. Because if you don't like ice cream.
Right. If you don't if you don't like Frozen, you're going to hate this pavilion. And if you just have it sort of built into your DNA already, nothing they can do is going to make you love it. But you know what? When that opens, man, people are going to freak out. And more importantly, from a business perspective, it's going to make the family that maybe wasn't thinking about a trip to Walt Disney World go, you know what? The kids are at this age and you know, little Melissa just loves her Anna and Elsa. Let's just take a trip down to Disney World for the week. Yeah.
And you know what? That's the thing you hear all the time from people with kids a lot of times, too, is, oh, do we even need to do Epcot? Is Epcot something?
We get
asked
that question a lot.
Is that even like a half-day park? Now with this, that's not even a question anymore.
Right?
Yeah, you got to go over there. You
got to go over there. They'll have the meet and greet there. So.
And hey, look, you know, I'm looking forward to it, but I also love the idea of it getting traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
maybe it frees up some other stuff. I also think that Epcot is the next Hollywood Studios, in that there's going to be a slew of announcements within the next couple of years.
Probably once Hollywood's done.
And I think that an attraction, some more attraction-based stuff is going to be popping up in Epcot.
Yeah.
In Future World?
I don't know. Maybe in Future World, I think the Imagination Pavilion needs to see end of a wrecking ball right now.
oh, my God. You really want to see people chain themselves to the front door, don't you?
You know what, though? Those people, and I can say this because I'm not the nice guy. Those people who, if you signed an online petition, you did the minimum amount of work. Because when Toad was going to be closed, people chained themselves like animals, mind you, you know, to that ride. But there were only 15 of them, and that's why it still got closed. Unfortunately, even if you have 500 people in a message board all agreeing with each other that Frozen is the worst thing that's ever happened because they've convinced themselves of that, it doesn't compare to the millions of people who saw that movie multiple times, whose kids watch it all day, every day. Those kids are you with Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. You just don't recognize that because you're not that kid anymore.
Right.
You
know, I mean, Little Mermaid is in numerous parks.
Yeah.
Is anyone freaking out about that?
No.
No, of course they're not. Yeah. Because, you know what? It attracts people. It gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because you don't like something doesn't mean everybody hates something. You know, it's the way it is.
And Bob Iger is not going to be sitting at his computer going, uh-oh, wait a minute, everybody. 500 people on Facebook signed a petition. Just forget the whole Frozen thing. Just cancel it. Never mind.
You know, even if it was 50,000, it doesn't matter.
It's not going to change.
It's a minuscule number. As much as people, you know, us, you know, included eventually, you know, want to think of Walt Disney World as our own park and this and that, it doesn't work that way because you have to equate it to season tickets at a ball game. All right, Brian, you might know this. What's the average amount that percentage wise of season ticket holders in a baseball stadium? Maybe what, 20?
That's a lot, I think.
Oh, that seems like really high. Yeah. So if a baseball stadium only honored themselves towards the season ticket holder and the local people who are they're coming there every day, they would go out of business. And they just, you can't do that. In Disneyland, it's a bit of a different story. It's a little more malleable.
Yeah.
But in Disney World, it is the tourist location on Earth. As much as you want it to be a homegrown place, it's really probably never going to be. But it looks great. I mean, the animatronic of Sven looked incredible.
Yeah, that looked really good.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited to see what they do because I really don't think it'll just be a movie adaptation, but I will also remember that, Oil Rig. I will remember that. For me, I've always equated it to if there was an American Pavilion attraction, a dark ride, it'd be like, you end in a fryer at McDonald's. I just don't think that's the equivalent of their, blah, blah, blah. Melissa, blah, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, we know it might not be a straight movie adaptation because the songwriters, the Lopez duo.
That's Robert a good point.
Lopez right. and Kristen Anderson Lopez are doing the soundtrack, so they're adding new stuff to it.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like you wanted to say Hans Christian Andersen and you held back.
No,
it's a shame. We need a Danny Kaye Hans Christian Andersen ride just so no one will know what's going on in that ride. It'll be fantastic. okay, there was some other little announcements, but I just want to talk about our first, and then I want to talk about the cruise. Really go into that. I just want to talk very, very quickly about the first Marvel attraction that's going to finally be opened on Disney grounds, the Iron Man Experience. We didn't get much of a feel from it. This kind of feels like Star Tours with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
But I'm not, or Spider-Man a new coat of paint, is maybe the better way of doing it. But I think it's exciting that this is the first step into, Marvel attractions coming. We know, obviously, that the East Coast would be maybe the last on the list to get that. But if you don't think that's going to happen eventually, because you can only promote your competition for so many years until you decide, I don't want to do that anymore. So eventually Marvel will come into the fold, I believe. But, Lou, is someone who's, been over... I mean, is Hong Kong now going to be something you definitely want to go visit because of the Iron Man Experience? Does that have the same pull for you as, say, what you saw out of Tron?
I mean, Tron was the I need to go to Shanghai. I dig the idea of the Iron Man Experience. I actually thought it was something more like... Or maybe I'm hoping to be more like a Spider-Man type attraction than Star Tours, but it is sort of their first, dipping of the toe of the Marvel waters for Disney. So it's not something that's going to make me say I need to go to Hong Kong. I think Hong Kong needs a lot more before I'm ready to say, I need to go to the opposite side of the planet just to see Iron Man. So,
but what about the Explorers Hotel? Come on.
All right, that's all I needed.
That's it.
Is that up-based? I mean, is that like, Wilderness Explorers Lodge?
Sounds like it.
That's interesting. That would be really... I'm curious, because they gave really very, very little... I mean, I literally only have one line here, so I don't know. But I didn't get a lot of info on this one in particular. Did you learn anything about the Explorers Lodge beyond just the name?
No, I mean, and again, if they were talking about it, I didn't see it because was Shanghai, and a little bit of... Avatar and Star Wars.
You were glazed over. Okay, let's talk about a big event that you are holding early next year. And me and Melissa are very, very happy to say that we will be joining you for your 9th anniversary cruise, which is going to be one of the first Star Wars cruises. Well, Star Wars at Sea. They have a day at sea there. And why don't you tell everybody about what's going to be going on with that, if you wouldn't mind.
It's pretty much just a week-long buffet at sea. That's it. I mean, it's an excuse to eat on the water. For the past, I guess it's 6 years maybe, I've been hosting cruises on the Disney Cruise Line with my audience. The ships and the destinations are almost secondary to just getting the community together. And we've had special guests like Richard Sherman and Ridley Pearson and, groups of up to 500 people. We just came back from Alaska a couple of months ago. And literally, man, the day that I saw them say Star Wars Day at Sea. 15 minutes later, I was on the phone with my travel partner. I'm like, we need to do it. Like, we'll figure out the logistics later, but I need to announce this tonight. It was the night of my live show. And I'm like, I'm announcing it tonight. We'll figure it out. We picked a date. And it actually works out well because it is also the ninth anniversary of WW Radio. It's Star Wars Day at Sea. And it's also the Super Bowl. So imagine the Super Bowl outside on Funnel Vision on the top deck of the Disney. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
Wait,
than that.
They do that?
Yeah. Well, they better. They have to do it.
No, I mean, no. I mean, this is only our second cruise. And we actually, no joke, when this was announced, I tweeted you and Becky and I got nothing. I got just this dead silence. And I turned to Melissa and I was like, oh my God, they're actually going to do it.
Yep.
I was like, he's not interacting at all. I'm like, they're going to
I had to
something.
Go radio silence.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, okay. I was like, look, I'm really sorry, but we're going to wind up canceling our cruise in December. You just have to deal with that because there's a Star Wars cruise and, you know, Lou's going to be doing his whole thing. So we were watching that night and we were so excited. You know, when you made that announcement, it was just really, really exciting. And now with the release of the film coming up, it amps it up even more. And they have announced that they're going to be showing the film on the cruise boats when the movie opens.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm assuming they're going to be showing it as part of their marathon day when they're going to be showing all the films there as well. But, I mean, even more importantly, this is your ninth anniversary cruise. I mean, how does that feel?
It's awesome, man. And you know, cruising is better. It is a lot more fun when you share it with friends, even friends that you might not have met yet. And the nice thing about our cruises is we've gotten so fortunate. We've got such good groups of people. And you know that when you see, you know, other people with the lanyards and the credentials on, you know that you have something in common beyond your love of Disney and you listen to the show or whatever it may be. And we do a lot of other things, too, even above and beyond what Disney has planned. So no, I almost just said one of the things we're planning.
All right, no, wait. No, stop that. Stop right there because I'm not going to let you just fly by it because, of course, I had that in my head. I know you're not going to be able to, but I still have to ask, is there anything that you can hint at of what we're going to maybe experience on this cruise?
So I would love to tell you what I have in my mind, but there's a huge nexus between the ideas that I have and what we're actually able to execute on.
Okay.
So I mean,
no Millennium Falcon on the deck. Is that the question?
I can only say that in the past we have had special guests in the, you know, exclusive to our group that have done presentations and concerts and signings and art and things like that. We've also done stuff like, I don't want to say. So, for example, 2 years ago, and I would love to do this, we actually were able to get Disney to allow us to rent out the kids club after midnight. So we had a pajama party that night, and there is 100 adults in like footy pajamas and costumes going into the kids club acting like kids. They put all the stuff on for us. We're doing games and we're dancing and we're having a great, like, it was, it was so fun to watch. Everybody just let all their inhibitions go away and really become the 7 and 8 year old boys and girls that fell in love with Disney. And I think on this ship and on this cruise and with the Star Wars thing, I think we have a lot of opportunity to do, you know, costumey stuff and yeah.
Okay. I won't push any further. I got you.
But just so, I mean, I, like I said, I have a lot of ideas, but what we're able to actually do, because we obviously have to be holding to, you know, space availability and stuff that Disney has planned and things like that. So I try my best to do as much as I can. So.
We're heavily anticipating that cruise very, very much. We literally shifted every plan around because we thought when we heard it, we were like, you know what, this is worth making the adjustment and, you know, shifting our plans. And I mean, we even, you know, rented out some of our DVC points to make the trip, you know, within our range and all that. And it worked out beautifully. And I think it's going to be so much fun. And based on the Star Wars thing, going with your crew. And, you know, we know how well you guys, you know, put things together. And also, I mean, me and Melissa, when we first cruised, we had a great time, but it was just me and Melissa. Mm-hmm. And we both said like, oh, this is great, but man, this would be great with some friends, wouldn't it? This would be so great. So this is really, really exciting for us. This will be our first time that we cruise with others that we know.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm talking about you and Becky, but whom Becky I've met once and you I've met like twice. But hey, I've met. It's good enough.
It's a blast, man. And if you, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that we've posted from past cruises or pictures. I mean, it's such a good time. And whether you want time by yourself or you want to make, I mean, you inevitably will leave with lots of new long-term friends because that's one of the things that I love about these cruises is being able to bring people together like that. But it is a blast. It is a blast, especially when we, you know, when we take over a dining rotation and we rent out the Walt Disney Theater and do some of the other things like that. It's really, really a lot. I couldn't imagine cruising without the groups.
So if people, well, since people are interested, because I'm sure that after hearing this, they are, where would they go for more information on attending this cruise with us?
So if you go to WDWRadio.com and click on events, you'll find the cruise there. I think you can also go to WDWRadioCruise.com, and that will take that better take you. I hope it takes you right there. As yes, it does. I just checked it. All right.
I was just about to have Melissa check it.
Yeah, WDWRadioCruise.com will take you right there, and you can just get a free quote, no obligation, just to find out. But I hate to sound salesy, but book early because the prices only go up, and that's from Disney. That's not from us. We don't charge anything extra to come on the cruise with us either.
Yeah, no, me, yes, 100%. Me and Mel have had experience with that on the two bookings that we've had. The earlier, the better, and get all your paperwork in order because that's another thing. You know, it's not a lot of work. It's very, very easy, but this should be fantastic. And actually, we're going to show up the day before the cruise. And we're going to be leaving a day post-cruise.
Yeah, just to recoup.
Yeah, a little bit of recoup, a little bit of breathing room, because one of the big lessons that we learned was if you're traveling into the cruise, I would strongly suggest showing up the night before. Just because of possibility of unforeseen circumstances, we are in New York and we are traveling to Florida in February.
Yeah.
So give yourself an extra day just in case. And when you're down there, then you relax, you enjoy. Maybe we all go to where do I want to go? Want to go to Shooting Cowboys show. Help me.
Hoop-dee-doo
review. There we go.
We're doing that in December.
The Shooting Cowboys
show. Those words. That's all I had. I've yet to do the Hoop-dee-doo review.
Come on.
I know. Well,
oh my
February
gosh.
The 5th, I'll be free. So we're probably going to do that, actually, because our trip in December is going to be half Disney, half looking for homes, yeah. Which is weird nice. To say.
And oftentimes we do like a pre-cruise event, so people get the chance to meet each other, and
Yeah.
So
excellent. Then we'll keep that night nice and open, so we can work on that as well.
Yeah, so. I also just like driving the day before, because when we went on our first cruise, when we traveled in, getting on the ship, I kind of got really wonked out after dinner.
A long day, yeah. Traveling and then getting on the bus and getting into the boat. It's a physical toll, because you are, if you're flying a decent amount, you're probably getting up at 4 a.m.
Which we did. Right.
And you're not settling into your cabin until about, what, like 1:30, 2 o'clock usually, Lou, is when they when they house?
Yep.
So, okay, I want to thank Lou. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I really hope that you would come back again. Actually, I kind of have an idea for when you might want to come back. And in that movie thing that we're doing, we are going to eventually get to Peter Pan.
Nice.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about the history of the making of Peter Pan, and does the film still hold up? What's the iconic shot in the film? And, is it a morals film, or is it a feelings film? You know, is it just trying to get an emotional reaction out of you, or does it have a moral story to tell, or is it one of those that has both? Because, strangely enough, Disney is usually one or the other. The rarities are the both.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into that fable versus fairy tale argument, which is always kind of fun. So, if when that time comes, we'll talk about that more. But thank you so much for spending your night tonight. Whoa. Ending soon. Sorry, I have a thing on eBay that evidently decided to let me know that it's going on. It's going to end soon. Thank you, Windows 10. Thank you so much, Lou, for coming on here and spending your night with us. I know your time is very valuable, and I thank you immensely from all of us. Brian?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lou. It was great to talk to you, and it was fantastic to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you, Lou. I can't wait to enjoy eating on the cruise with you and hopefully eating at the new Jungle Canteen down in Magic Kingdom soon.
Yeah, we may have to. Maybe we can set something up in December. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you again for having me on. This was a blast. I can talk Disney and Marvel and comic books and movies and geek out with you guys all day long. So I look forward to seeing you guys on the cruise. I look forward to being neighbors.
Yeah.
And, and helping you enjoy what it's like to live right by here and enjoy it all the time. And just bring stretchy pants because we're going to eat a lot.
Oh, yeah. So. No. I'm not going to bring pants. Decided against it. So, nice. Okay, guys. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Once again, thank you very much to Lou Mangiello. If you guys don't listen to WW Radio, you absolutely should. It is the best Disney podcast available right now. It's informative. It's fun. He's got great guests. He's got really great guests a lot of times. And actually, a recent episode that was really great was Top Things You May Not Know About Mary Blair. And I really loved that episode. Lou, I love that you're introducing that new segment, basically, where you're going to go into all the legends. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So I really, really dug that. So right now you are listening to Forget by Pogo, which is off of his new album Kindred Shadow. And if you break it down and listen to it, you're going to find a lot of Disney movies in there. So if you want to watch the video for it, head on over to youtube.com/Pogo. To find more of his music, head on over to soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his home address is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. On Twitter, we are at Last Gen Podcast. And on Facebook, we are Disney Magic Hour. That's our little page if you want to come over and just click that join button and join our growing little family on there. And then head on over to iTunes and hit that subscribe button. And please give us a 5-star review if you'd be so kind. Maybe I'll harm Brian physically. I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm sorry, man, but it works on the other show.
Yeah, no, I don't know. We got to talk about this.
We've got 50 compared to like 15. And guess what? 50 is more.
50 is a lot more, yeah.
So this is basically me hitting you is Frozen.
Oh.
That's me having to put Frozen in Epcot is that's pretty much where it comes down to. Do it for Frozen? Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. Say goodnight, Brian.
Good night, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Good night, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Lou.
Good night, Lou.
Good night, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.